realms of Senith.
There's not much to refresh on from last time, was there? It's just that I think it was a dungeon crawl with you guys dealing with the witches and you captured the mayor. Is that right?
Yeah. Sounds about right.
Diamond got introduced to the lovely mayor, Mayor Sidge.
He's a hell of a guy.
Sure.
So I'm going to kind of skip us ahead a bit. You guys have been wanting to get to Baender for some time.
Excuse me?
Right. So upon your arrival outside of the city, the mountain city, you find yourselves greeted by a brand new gate at the city that is an entrance to the mountain and the stables area. There are actually, while you're standing in the forest looking towards this entrance gate, you can see that it obviously looks brand new. It also has really heavy locks on it, large metal bars that extend out. And this thing looks like it's ready for a siege. However, upon your approach, you see that the bars start to retract and the gates themselves start to open. And as Mord is in the middle of correcting one of the soldiers that are with you about this being called Mordville, you actually see Mordville like a banner at the top inside of the reception area to this city. It just is sprawled out and it says Mordville on it.
Now that's what we're talking about.
You see, after the gates have opened, you can hear footsteps, light footsteps, but they're just from the weight, right? It's just there's dwarf undead that are walking out. And some of them are wearing little party hats. Hang on, I got a message. Yeah, Ninja, go ahead. Some of them are wearing party hats. One of them has like one of those things you blow on and they extend out and make like a noise and everything. They don't breathe, so they can't actually use them. And they just kind of stand and they form themselves into like a welcoming line for people to walk through. I should note that in this world, undead are disconcerting, I guess. I mean, they're like blasphemous creatures. They're people's souls that have been trapped into... What's this? Okay, so Mord seems to be totally fine with us, according to this GIF.
These are my subjects. So we messed up something time hopping, is my guess.
Pardon?
We messed up something doing our time hopping Feywild adventures?
Were these dwarfs alive last time?
No. Last time you and Erevan had been through here, they were definitely not alive then either.
And now they're ready for a party?
They seem to be welcoming you, yes.
We welcome you to Mordville.
One hands you a giant lollipop.
What would an undead lollipop be?
Well, actually, one does come out with a croissant, and other has some hard candy.
Is it Werther's?
They do offer them to you. Sure.
Like, yeah, they're like, you know, undead. You know, all like grandparents have Werther's in their house or something, or at least should.
Or
like,
those strawberry candies.
Yeah, that's what they have.
Like a knowledge. Is there like a regional information thing? I forget. Probably just history, right?
Knowledge history? Okay. Oh, I crit the bed. I got a 20. So 28.
All right. So you have actually seen this candy before. At various events that you've been to when you were selling your Fizzle Pop.
Yeah?
Yes, this is a rather newer candy. It's expensive, but it's mostly sold in very large cities, probably larger than Elkwood.
Well,
the nearest one would be Brogain. Go ahead.
It's like does this candy, like the snozzberries, taste like snozzberries?
It's very fancy, so probably not. Right? Like that was kind of like that was experimental candy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where you like lick the wall?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. No, this is more like the everlasting gobstoppers.
Oh man. So we're back, undead bitches.
So like, as I mentioned, I just mentioned that there are other people with you, like guards from the city that have been traveling with you for some time. Some of them through the werewolf situation you were dealing with. They don't seem to be that thrilled at this site. As I was saying, in this world, this is more like it looks like a mockery to most of them. Like, this is strange. Like, think of Game of Thrones, like the undead, if they came out and was offering people candy and had party hats on.
Well, I'm not one to, like, overlook an opportunity, right?
I'm not trying to...
Well, I mean, think of a labor force that doesn't have to eat or breathe or live Like, do they even get sanctioned breaks if they're undead? Like, what are the labor laws for putting a zombie to work?
Would you want to light out there?
Is there like, you know, is there like an undead union?
No.
I guess it'd be knowledge religion.
Okay, let me check. I got an 8.
You're not sure. These are legitimate questions Mord's asking.
Okay. Well, I kind of hold the hand back to like the captain of the guard and be like, I got this. And then I, you know, that thing where you turn your hand sideways and be like, yeah, maybe, you know, shake them side to side. Thank you for the gift of candy and everlasting schnozberry stoppers. What the actual fuck is going on?
The ones that were, that had approached you fall back into line, and you see what looks like a wrapped mummy starting to kind of waddle out into the clearing, not into the clearing, but into the woods with you.
Oh, shit. This is all a joke. No. He's pissed because I named his city Mordville, and he's just trying to fuck with me. That's what's going on. I should have took the candy. Those are expensive.
What happened to the guy that was sent ahead?
Did we send the mayor's son ahead already? He's dead.
I think he would have met up with him in Elkwood. I doubt he would have just walked into Bainder by himself.
Also,
Mimsy?
Do we refill on healing potions?
Yeah, if there's shopping stuff you want to do while you're in Elkwood, or while you were in Elkwood, you would have had a chance to potion up. If there's equipment changes you wanted to do, you can do that there.
Yeah, there
you
was
have access to a lot of like the palaces, armorers and everything. So
there's something I needed to make. It's a little bit outside the box. So you want to do that outside the game, or like do we just talk about it now? Then you can tell me if it's yay or nay.
Talk to me now.
Okay. So at fifth level, I get an ability called Magical Firearm. Here's the funny thing. It's made of wood. I carved the thing myself. Here's my question.
Okay.
I can use it as a focus for my spells. Now, if I use it as a focus, I get an extra D8 damage to one of my damage rolls with it. But my Green Flame Blade has to be used with a melee weapon that is one silver piece. So can I make an arcane firearm that has like a brass knuckle quality to it so I can activate Green Flame Blade with it?
It would not be outside of the realm of possibility to have a bayonet.
Okay, I'm good with that. Like a dagger slot I would slide over it or something?
Yeah, just put like any dagger you want to onto it, and there you go.
Okay, I have that then. Is that fair? Do I need to like pay for it? Or is that just something I just crafted?
One silver, wasn't it?
Yeah, okay. So I have a blade gun.
So you're okay. Like the guns, not gunslinger, the gun breaker?
Yeah, kind of. Fix bayonet.
So this right. Mummy walks, go ahead.
I was just, no, go ahead.
The mummy walks out and it does speak to you. And it says in a rather breathy voice, welcome to Mordville. You have been invited to a feast in your honor by Lord Bainder.
That sounds like a trap.
Are we the main course in such feast?
Lord Bainder would rather have a truce with adventurers of such renown. There is no trick.
I'm not sure.
Mord sniffs around. I smell a trap.
Smell that bullshit.
Would you like another croissant?
Would this be like investigation or insight, or how can we?
Yeah, I think I'm going to do like an insight here.
All right, anybody can roll an insight for this if you want. Let's do a group one.
Okay.
I'm not very wise, so it probably won't be good for me.
17.
22.
Ooh.
You just like out warlock to me.
I got a 15.
I think it's 13 for me.
So what kind of general insights are you looking for? Like if it's lying to you or not? Or you pass, by the way. So
I'm personally you're looking for like if this is some kind of trick, if it's lying to us.
Yeah, if it's lying to us, if it's a trick, if it's a trap.
I want to know if that croissant is a day old or if it's fresh made.
It's fresh made.
Or if it's warm.
But I take it.
What'd you say, Diamond?
Or if it's poisoned.
Right.
Well, Morden, I guess, is going to find out.
I bite into it.
All right. Well, after a moment of him watching him, he doesn't seem to fall over.
Is it good?
Yeah, it's really good. Like, it's not as good as the stuff you've tasted in the Feywild, but nothing is, really.
Oh man, this is really good.
So you're not seeing among... It's hard to judge the demeanor of these creatures there, especially the mummy, but you're not seeing any obvious signs of it trying to be deceptive. In fact, it seems very, in a long... gone traditional way, very welcoming in how it's moving its body, how it's speaking to you. It's being careful not to look anybody directly in the eyes for too long, because so far as you can figure, it knows it's not a presentable figure or visage to be looking at a freaking mummy. So it's trying not to put you off with its bandages and weird looking skin and stuff.
I want to ask giving you space. Why this Lord Bander suddenly wants to have peace.
It says, for that, I would believe that Lord Bander should speak for himself.
Can we go hear him out?
Well,
let's go talk to Lord Bander then. Can I have a croissant though?
Smells very stoppers.
What did Diamond ask for?
A fancy candy.
All right, so croissant is brought to Erevan, some fancy candy for Diamond. Was Alita wanting Snozberry thing? Uh-huh. Okay, all right. So yeah, another round of desserts are brought. And then after the minions are finished giving you your treats, the mummy waves them away. And then he steps to the side just in front of the other, or one side of the undead, and holds his arm out as to say, you're welcome to go into the town or the city. And he doesn't seem to be following you if you go in. Like, he seems like he's going to be staying here. This is the demeanor you do get from him.
Well, so the guard captain's pretty like unsettled, right?
Yeah, there's nobody talking around you.
And how far are we away from Elkwood?
You're about a day's march away.
All right. So I want to ask from the guards, like, hey, you should send a runner or a horseman. I don't really care how you do it. We need some people, for one. Because as Mordville has always been a dream and more of a joke than a reality, it seems like they have set up the reality of the thing. So we need some emissaries from the king who, if this, like, they try to do some, like, diplomacy shit, I'm probably not very good at it. I don't know about the rest of the party here. We're more of, like, a hammer rather than, you know, I don't know the analogy here. Like, help. And if we die, please conquer this place and actually make it Mordville in my honor. Thank you.
So the guard's eyes go from you to the mummy and the undead and then back to you and says, I think we still have, okay, I'll go deliver the message myself. And then someone else is like, no, I can do this message. I can go do this. But then the next guard's like, no, I can. But they sort it out and they send a messenger to town.
Well, guys, should we go into the undead wonderland that is now the Mordville of my dreams, I guess?
Yeah, we should do it like a parade somehow.
Like, do you want to build a float, like, before we go in kind of thing is what we're talking?
Sure, why not?
Let's get some marching music going.
It's a big welcome, so, like, we need a big entrance, right? Like, a float.
Do you have a parade float? I asked the mummy.
Asked the mummy, okay. I thought you said Simone.
No. But, that's the mummy's name, isn't it?
But Simone? Yeah, yeah. Sure.
Simone, I mean, what? Mummy.
It he was like Jalen, but...
He has a name tag, right? It says Simone.
Yeah. So, Mord, between kind of cast prestidigitation. Do you have that on, Morin?
Oh, yeah. That's how I make my fizzy pop.
Yeah, well, that's also how you make the mummy's name Simone.
I don't think you realize what power you just gave me.
Are we going to get like a fucking contract like we did with that mayor's kid?
All in good time, my good friend. All in good time.
All right, so Simone says, he tells you there are some parade things that they could fetch real quick and form into a float for you. That there were parades in back in the day, so they think they can do something.
I mean, yeah. So you want to just go meet the big mummy, or do you want to stunt them to make you a float?
I want to float.
Okay. Diamond would like a float, please.
With flowers.
What kind of, what style?
Flowers.
Like what, there'll be flowers, but what possess would you like on it? Like what kind of creature would you bring into the city to introduce yourselves?
A dragon.
We can do that.
They're very accommodating.
So now the mummy does head back into the city, and most of the undead start to follow him in, and the doors close. And you hear from time to time as you're outside of the city, various contraptions. Sounds like some hammering going on, large devices being dragged around. And about, so this goes into the next day.
Okay, I gotta go.
Okay. And she said she had to step away for a little bit around now.
Yep.
So she's going to miss the float. Yeah, the door opens up and a red dragon greets all of you. It's on wheels and is being wheeled out to all of you. It looks amazing. It has flowers all over it. Some of them, most of them look magical. There's a couple actual real ones. And there's a very large, what looks like... a throne on the top of the dragon with that is covered with flowers with a, what is it, like a, not a wreath, but those things you would find, like an arch with flowers growing on them, right?
Flower arch?
Yeah, like your chariot awaits, Diamond.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to climb into the throne on the thing. Hello.
All right, so there are other spots, a driver's seat in the front of this dragon, kind of on the neck of it. There's like a place to stand and wave from, a little lower on the dragon, kind of on its wing. And you can see that there's undead feet underneath this wheeled contraption that appear to be the things pushing it forward. But yeah, they back it out into the forest. And yeah, everyone around you is still very quiet. Like they were talking a bit, but as the undead roll out this really beautiful looking float, they don't really know what to say. And
I don't either, to be honest.
Me neither. Yes. It's beyond my expectations. Great.
So as Diamond's climbing up the dragon quite immediately, Simone comes up to you, Morin, and says, I hope this meets your expectations.
I'm quite impressed with your crafting prowess, Simone. This in a day is impressive. This in a week would probably be impressive. Hats off to you and your crew.
He bows. He says, well, we had a good base to start with. We had a clockwork dragon that has been long dilapidated that we were able to put onto several carts. And he just like starts pointing out different parts of the Simone seems actually quite proud of his work as he's like walking around showing you stuff.
I like what you've done here. That was a very nice way that you shored up this, because you can tell that that's a little bit, you know, over time, but like the way you shored it up really quickly seems pretty solid.
He says, we had plenty of red tarp.
Nice move. Yeah,
just
so, you know, while we're doing the mutual respect thing here, and really, what is this all about? You know, where he authorizes you to build us a float. I mean, he changes the name to his namesake to mine. Like, what's the insight here, man?
What's with the new gate?
All right, you see, Simone kind of look back into the city for a moment, and then he looks back to all of you and says, "Well, I mean, all of you that's not Diamond, because she's up there." Yay!
Yay, dragon float! Flowers!
So he says, wow. So there was word that there was a recent break-in to the city, and it was discovered that it was you and your party. So we were preparing for a large assault by you and Elkwood, and then more word came as we investigated the situation, and we realized... Lord Bainder realized quite wisely that it would be more trouble to actually defend the city from you. Worse, more trouble of such renowned adventurers as yourselves, the personal adventurers of the King of Elkwood, to come to demise in the city. This we felt, or this Bainder felt, would be unacceptable and put the city at more risk than simply inviting you in and giving you offerings.
Interesting. So what is it that you want? Not Bainder, you. Simone, builder of wonderful floats, greeter of random adventure.
In my life, I was a well-respected forager, as it were. I was a builder. Things like this, and then he touches the dragon's float, and he's like, doing things like this was my love in life. Bainder, he took me on as one of his many servants and brought me into the undeath with him so that I could forever do things such as this, to make beautiful contraptions, things that come alive.
Morid sheds a single tear. That's what we all want.
He offers you a handkerchief.
I think Morid has a new friend.
He's got an old soul, you know, crafter. Do most of the undead of Bane feel this way? Like, you know, you just love to craft and build things?
Most of them are mindless creatures. My soul was not, as it were, disassembled to create me.
Oh, okay. Because you know, like, Kingdom, Elkwood, King. Like, he's like, ooh, skeleton, crush it, right?
Sorry, I don't understand what you mean.
So like undead are hunted,
right?
They're not, they're reviled, right? So the kingdom yeah. And all the people that live there, and the king is gonna be like, ooh, gross skeleton, let's kill it, you know, rather than, hey, look what this awesome mummy made, it's an awesome dragon float.
So you're asking him if he understands that he's a target by the,
yeah,
okay. He says, we have long been targets, even when the city was full of living, breathing. However, we have always been able to provide services,
okay,
and protections.
Well, guys, gotcha.
Wait, you say when? Is the city no longer full of living people?
The last living creature inside the city was 300 years ago. Resident, I should add. Anything else before we commence your parade?
Hey, no, I need more flowers. I need a flower crown.
All right, they make a little wraith, a ring of flowers, and they hand it to one of you to bring it to Diamond.
Just climb down and grab it. I don't need a mailman.
Huh. Well, I guess we go meet Bainder and see, you know.
All right, well, yeah, the float starts to roll forward. Again, Simone stays outside as the float makes its way into the entrance to the city, and you pass through or pass by the stables and other things you would find at the entrance, little rooms, greeting rooms, to, like where people would meet and have diplomacy between cities and stuff, what Mord was asking for, like emissaries. And then you start making your way into the city, and the last time you were in here, the most prominent place here, other than the temple that this float is heading to, would be the library. And there's a lot of homes, a lot of stone-built homes. It's actually a small metropolis. The distant walls you can see if you have the vision to. You can see what would otherwise be skyscrapers almost, where there's a lot of homes and shops that are built up the walls with little pathways that go up. And there are a line in the streets, a line of undead that stand on both sides of the road watching your float go by. As Diamond's up there.
Princess wave to them.
What are these shops selling to the undead?
They seem long dilapidated. They probably don't have anybody in them. You're not seeing anybody living and actively creating anything or building anything. There's just undead. The princess wave gif. Yes, eventually you are brought to the temple and the end of the parade, and a bunch of undead are clapping. This is so weird to say. As Diamond does her final waves, and there is actually another mummy that's standing at the steps of the temple, and he is dressed up in royal garb, but he seems to look more like a priest, and this is who you suspect to be actually Lord Bainder. The mummy is a dwarf, and he's wearing a pope hat, essentially.
All right, the mummy pope.
And he comes down to greet all of you, and he says, welcome.
Welcome.
Please, come in.
Do you have free candy? Are we going to get in your candy van?
I have assembled for all of you a feast in your honor. Pastries, candies, cheeses.
Oh, we need wine to go with the cheese too, man.
I have the best wines.
So can I check for deception? Yeah, or
you can smell the cheese from here.
Okay, so maybe there's a feast, but...
You actually hear voices inside of the temple.
Can the undead talk?
Generally, no. The mummies are something of an exception. They can also be like intelligent creatures and everything. So most of like the zombies and skeletons that are out in the streets and stuff, they don't seem to speak at all. But they can understand speech that they've understood when they're living. And most of them were dwarves. So if you wanted to speak to them, you could speak in dwarvish. You're figuring if they're friendly to you, which at the moment they seem to be.
So did Bander change these dwarves into undead?
You wouldn't know that for certain. Is that something you would actually ask him?
Maybe.
Does Alita ask?
Sure.
I don't know if other people wanted to chime in on that and be like, no, don't ask anything or whatever. So
nope.
He says, these are the fallen citizens of a long gone city. Lively.
The name of the city was Lively.
Their services were still required.
Like,
are you in the same old city?
What service is that one doing? It just keeps running into the wall.
Stop embarrassing me.
maybe that's how they power all the power things. Like, I think they had like a powered forge, right? They have to, like, yes, it's sun powered, but maybe they need more energy than that. I don't know.
Like locomotion powered, so like yeah. Every step, you know.
So they have like Aravon. magical Fitbit.
Aravon, you are correct. Maintenance is required to maintain the city.
Out of character, I like how Aravon like gave him an out. Okay, sorry, didn't mean to interrupt.
Music, please. And then you hear music starting to play inside the temple itself. Shall we? And he motions towards the doorway.
I take his hand and I pull him in and I start dancing
with the mummy.
Yeah.
roll performance.
20. Naturally
a 20. Okay, yeah, those dice seem to be working for you, Diamond. All right, well, at first the mummy does not seem too thrilled to be dancing, but somehow you've intrigued him with some dance moves, and he starts to kind of swing a bit with you, and he says as he's dancing, he's like, whoa, I haven't seen this technique in years.
It's a good one, right?
He's like, these are traditional dances. How have you learned them?
Lots of practice.
Right, yeah, and yeah, so you guys start dancing on the steps and fancy stuff is happening for the rest of the group. I think it occurs to you that what's happened is because Diamond is a bit misplaced in time, she's doing some older traditional dancing that hasn't really been practiced in some time. And that seems to have really impressed Bander, who probably danced like this in, back when the city was alive. Sorry?
Oh, I was just saying the same thing you did, but okay. Sorry. Go on.
No, that was it. It's just like he seems to be... He seems to know these dance moves, and he's booging down. So while Bander and Diamond are wiggling outside the temple, are you guys going in, or do you have somewhere you want to talk to him first?
Oh, sorry. I thought I was supposed to make a distraction.
Not this time, but, I mean, it was good. Far be it for me to stand in the way of a good performance.
So somebody walks out a woman walks out of the temple, and she appears to be alive, and she is dressed as something of an entertainer, and she's just standing on the steps now watching Diamond and Bander dance, and you can see that she's smiling, and when Diamond and Bander are finished, she starts clapping. She says, bravo.
Thank you. It's been a joy, honestly.
Tip your bartenders and undead waitresses.
Sorry, did you say undead waitress?
Mm-hmm. Undead waitress.
No, she's alive.
Who's alive? The waitress?
Yeah, the lady that walked out.
What?
Oh, wait, she's alive? Hey.
This is, hello, my name is Shay.
Hi.
I'm a traveling bard. I've been hired, put on a performance here, but I see that I've already been upstaged.
Oh, sorry.
Bravo.
Thank you.
No, quite, quite the opposite. I'm very impressed. Those, I'm going to have to remember those dance moves. Please come on in.
Oh, well, I can teach them to you. I go in after the bard.
She says, please. Diamond, as you walk in, you see that there's a small kitchen that's been set up basically what you see on the map, right? The top right.
Yeah.
And there's a table set up for all of you to sit at. Bainder himself takes a position in the top left of the table and sits down, although he doesn't have any food served to him.
I guess I wait for Bainder to talk to us.
Well, I guess I'm going to take the bard to an open area where I could teach him my dance moves.
All right. Yeah, so Bainder doesn't really start off too much of the conversation yet. He just waits for the food to be served for all of you at the table, which eventually does. Lots of fine breads, a lot of pastries. There's chicken. Looks like a starfish is brought out, but it's like gingerbread. Some cakes and stuff just keeps being brought out. There's wine that's brought from a rack. Some of it's very ancient. You may recall in the first session, there were some fine wines that Amir helped you sort through. But these are very similar, very expensive, very old. They're definitely dwarf brews. There's cheese. Eventually, Bainder does say,
I yield to the city, or yield the city to you officially.
That's got me confused. But first, let me say thank you for the hospitality. It's strange, but welcome.
I am not.
I don't know what the catch is. Like, what's the catch? Are you yielding the city?
I'm sorry, Tyron, what'd you say at the very end?
You're yielding to the city to us, but what's the catch?
I shall bury the undead and let them rest finally. But the residents that you bring here must pay to the temple reasonable taxes.
You're talking about like a church and state relationship.
I'm just interested in the money.
He's honest about it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I can appreciate, somebody that's honest about just wanting some cash, man. I mean, that's kind of why we're all adventuring, right?
So you want to be the Pope that all of the citizens have to go to and tithe?
Tariffs. Tithe is not required. Tariffs.
That means so you're not even going to preach? What are they giving you their money for?
Protection.
Against?
Anyone. It would attack the city.
And how can you provide protection?
I am very powerful.
I mean, but the king can already provide us protection, so...
Where is your king?
I mean, I'm not totally opposed to this. He is providing us an entirely made city. It's kind of like rent, right?
Yes. Rent.
Housing should be free!
I mean, in the woods, sure.
Mm-hmm.
You know what it takes to make a dragon float like they just did for you? One day. I mean, they're pretty good. Let's be honest. That's pretty good.
There is one small problem.
Yeah?
I hired a band of kobolds to help defend the city.
Oh, God, not this again.
Wait, to defend the city against us?
Yes. I also built a gate.
To lock us in?
No, to lock you out. As you can see, my mind has changed.
So, can you, like, unhire these kobolds?
I attempted to, but instead, they took over many of the clockwork devices in the lower levels.
Okay, so I'm just going to tell you right now, don't hire any bandits or witches or bears to deal with them.
Or trolls.
Yeah.
Or adventurers.
Take care of them yourself. I'm kidding.
This is how mares slide down into becoming a werewolf.
Yeah, don't do any of that unless you want to become a werewolf.
But he's already undead, so does it really matter if he becomes a werewolf?
So, Bainder, while, you know, we joke around, how high are the tariffs you're trying to charge, one? And I don't know that we can make a deal like this in the kingdom. This might be above our pay grade. It's all
this
fine and good.
Mordville.
Yeah, it's all fine and good to say, hey, this is Mordville, when you don't realize that there's an intelligent creature such as yourself running, please don't take offense by creature, by the way, running a city that's, you know, hiring kobolds and building gates. I don't think the king actually said, yeah, you can have this as Mordville. I think it was more like, hey, I'm funny. Look at me. I have a city. I'm the mayor of nothing. And it's gotten all real, real, real fast. And just to be clear, I don't know that I have this authority, sir.
Can I just ask?
Go ahead.
What are kobolds?
Yeah.
They're little annoying lizard people.
They're like goblins, but lizards.
Do they live underground?
Generally, they do, yes. They're little miners, usually. Set up small communities in caves.
Okay. So that's why they took over the lower level? Or did they just do some sabotaging on the lower level?
They did a lot of sabotaging on the lower level, and they are set up there. So far as Bainder's explaining, they're known for setting up traps. They tend to be mechanically minded. They tend to worship dragons. They tend to believe that they have dragon heritage when often they don't. Yeah, they're like little cave monsters that screech a lot. Okay, so questions were.
I put a picture of them in the Dyson info chat.
Okay. So, Bainder, are you not capable of taking care of the kobolds yourself?
Well, in my defense, let's start there. I like to be known for making mistakes the once. No, I will not be hiring witches or bears or whatever, or becoming a werewolf.
Here's a serious question, though. Why are we going to have people pay you for protection when you can't even get rid of the kobolds that you hired?
Well, if you want to take the city, don't you want to fight for it? Conquest.
Yeah, but then why would we make a deal with you if we're going to have to fight anyway?
Well, you have a choice. You can fight some kobolds, name this Mordville, or you can fight me and some kobolds and call this Mordville.
We're still fighting either way, so...
So you admit that
we'll... You in the end, when we can just kill you and the kobolds. Makes more sense to me.
Right, I mean, you just admitted that either way it was still going to be Mordville.
In the end, I have indeed lost. I am not a fool. Even if I win and I kill Mord and all of his friends.
You won't, by the way.
If it did, though... It would upset the king. It would upset Brogain. It would upset the fairies. I make more enemies by fighting you than by just yielding the city and keeping my status as Templar. That is what I care about. Call the city what you will. And if you want me to kill these kobolds for you, very well.
You're not killing the kobolds for us. You're killing the kobolds for yourself.
I would only kill them because you've asked me to.
Well,
seems like you could come up with a truce of sorts.
These are unreasonable creatures who are fixated on Mord.
Oh, yeah. They might not be happy with me.
Whoops.
Yeah. There may or may not have been an incident when I first laid claim to this area.
I am aware. And no, it did not happen here.
It didn't happen here?
Are you familiar with the machine?
The machine?
The machine. That is what his name is. After spending 600 years racing snails to earn its freedom.
Oh no, is this a Feywild problem?
You must be bad at racing snails if it took 20 years.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things. It's, can we use this as an advantage for mutual benefit? I mean, you know, the dwarves get put to rest until they're needed. I heard a story once about a king who went through an undead city and then they kicked some butt. I'm not saying that we're kings. I'm just saying there is a king and undead, so there is a correlation here.
I am not unreasonable. Yeah, 5% tariffs.
I don't really see a point or even much of a benefit to killing this guy.
5% on annual income?
Exports.
No.
I am not interested in a living's income. I'm interested in what the city can do. You should know that if you attack me, I will not leave a functional city for you to take.
Yeah, that would probably be an issue.
Well, I mean, it's a minor setback. I mean, I think, you know, the question is not throwing threats. The question is, how do we move forward, right? But I think we wait for the diplomats to handle this, right? In the meantime, why don't you show us around and what the city has to offer? And 5%, when just from the potential that I've seen, is a lot, sir. But we don't have to talk about that now. Shall you show us around?
I have prepared sleeping quarters for all of you.
Awesome.
So afterwards, you may rest here and wait for your emissaries.
I never did fully describe everything, I suppose. So that bard that Diamond's showing dance moves to is actually part of a troupe, and they have set up a theater stage in the corner there. There's a lot of cooks in the kitchen area. They're still making stuff, and they're actually taking candies and foods out to the soldiers outside the city at this point. And there are bards playing music as you were talking. But at this point, Bainder does stand up and say,
if you are ready for your tour, I shall give it myself.
Well, we are honored.
Much of the city has already been seen by either Morin or Erevan. You need a sec? Okay. Yeah, we'll take a moment. Alita's AFK anyway. Snack time! Oh,
party break.
Sorry, Diamond?
Cool, since everyone's BRB, I'm gonna have a party break.
Okay.
Put him back.
Right. Waiting on Alita at this point, I think.
Or cheese.
Don't mind if I do. You've certainly spared no expense.
You have some chips. I kind of want nachos.
Well, if Diamond explains it to the kitchen, they'll start fixing that up.
Hey, kitchen person, cook thing. If you melt some cheese and you put it on some chips, it makes like this nacho stuff and it's really good. Can you make me some of that?
Right away.
Thanks.
You have created nachos.
Yay.
Has become a major export for Mordville. 5% tariff is applied to all ingredients sent across the kingdom.
Is your nachos?
Nachos, sweet, thanks.
So what will you do with all the time and money? Like, what's your goal? What, like, get you going?
Studies.
Studies.
It will fund my studies of the gods.
Oh, like how to become one or where they are?
I don't think money makes you a god.
Well, debatable. Money buys clockwork boats. Clockwork boats equal fun. Fun equals happiness, and happiness is godly.
I mean, you don't need money to be happy or have society.
I like Diamond. If you don't need the money, I'll take it.
You're funny. Unfortunately, society requires that I have this, so sorry about that.
So yeah, so we got half an hour.
Yeah.
So yeah, he gets up and he starts your tour. He shows you to the library. He says,
I believe you've seen this before.
But he's showing you around. Erevan and I think Diamond have already been inside of it.
Yeah.
But yeah, more, it's a multi-story library with, it's an impressive amount of books, a lot of tables, a lot of areas for people to copy down and replicate the books. And the subject matters are well organized. It looks like a functional dwarvish library. And there are sections where at the time, foreign sages would come here, do research, leave information here as well. Diamond actually found some elvish books that she brought back to the Onyx Elves that live out in the forests. After a bit in the library, he takes you further into the city, more towards the markets where he had fought those clockwork spiders and such. And he starts just brainstorming different ideas of current trends and products that are being moved from Brogain to Elkwood and vice versa. How Bainder could become like the central hub. He wants to market most of their goods to the Underdark.
What's the Underdark?
Well.
Boy, oh boy.
Yeah. So Brainerd does happily explain to you that the Underdark is full of evil creatures. Slavers, there's a lot of, there's dark elves down there. Did you ever watch Guardians of the Galaxy?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's dark elves in that movie. They're the things that were hanging out with Thanos, I think. Am I remembering that wrong, Morin? You probably remember that better than me.
I don't know. The Underdark's like a vast cave system that has a variety of creatures. Like there's deep gnomes and deep dwarves called Durgar. Dark elves called Drow. And all kinds of things. There's like no light down there and it's crazy.
I've got a meditation.
Then go put it on.
Well, someone else is playing a song. I got a meditation on there. Whatever.
Well, then I'm sorry.
And the Underdark.
Trade specifically with the Underdark, huh? That's interesting.
I have connections with many ancient creatures down there that would be very, very interested.
But wouldn't
rekindling old trading packs.
But wouldn't that strengthen them for raids on the surface?
Perhaps. But that's not my concern.
Maybe let's consider this. Maybe we do the flip side. Maybe Baindur or slash Mordville or slash whatever the king decides to let us call it becomes a staging ground for establishing a bulkhead in the Underdark that allows us to stop raids in this part of the world from happening. And then the adventurers that... Go ahead.
I have found, Morid, the best route to peace is trade. The city has never been attacked by dark elves. They instead come here to sell fine silks, to buy fine surface goods, let's say. Look.
And he takes you to one of the shops, dilapidated, but he digs through some of the broken tables and ruins and stuff and pulls out a really, really nice, it's like a suit of like a robe of silk, striped purple and red, very, very bright. And he hands it to you. He says,
priceless spider silks.
I inspect it.
Just at a first glance, Morty, you can tell this is, while it's torn a bit, it's not in good condition. The actual material for it is extremely expensive. He says,
this was a shop held by a drow who traded happily with surface dwarfs.
Do we ever figure out what actually happened here out of character?
No.
Okay.
Sorry, Diamond, what'd you say?
So I don't think so.
So, Baindur, what happened here, right? Hub of trade, height of crazy goods you can only find here, to ruins and undeath and falling into obscurity.
The dwarves decided to stop paying their tariffs.
Oh, shit. They killed them all?
They broke the deal.
Mm.
They're more useful to me now in their undeath.
So basically, if we ever decide to stop paying the taxes, you're going to turn us into your undead?
The cycle does not work that way. It's more likely that we will have a friendly relationship for the entirety of your lives. It will be the people that come after that decide that I'm useless.
So basically, we're best friends forever, huh?
I am a good ally to have.
I don't know.
What about Simone? I like that person.
One of my most loyal servants. What of him?
I mean, I think he's cool. I'd like to, have him be work for me.
If you agree, his services will be in your favor.
Neat.
Do you agree?
I don't think I have the authority to do so.
I am more worried about you and your party than I am of some king. Somewhere that won't come here himself.
Personally, I feel like if we killed him, that would be a lot of effort for basically no benefit. If we have him as an ally, we gotta, give him some money, but seems useful and a lot better than having a destroyed city on our hands.
Yeah, I don't think that's the concern, really. I think the concern would be setting up a city inside the king's kingdom without consulting with them. Like, hey, welcome. We're a sovereign nation within your kingdom. How do?
I would bow to your king.
Seems very accommodating.
To be sovereign. I am a Templar, not a politician.
To what you're saying, Nerevan, is that we have the authority to do this?
I mean, I don't think the king would oppose it, but I don't know. It wouldn't be much effort to ask him, though, right? I mean,
that's why the emissary.
We have like cell phones. Can we call them?
Yo, don't we still have some of his men with us?
Yeah, we sent them for emissaries right before we came in the door, remember?
I thought we only sent like one.
Yeah, that's all it takes is one to deliver a message.
We can send another to be like, oh, hey, we want to make this place a city in your kingdom. Is that cool?
This all sounds like it could be a text.
Okay, but cell phones don't exist, sorry.
So what you're talking about is we need a parchment that if you write on it here, it will show up somewhere else.
Oh, yeah.
I think you could probably do that with like a sending spell through enchantment. Let me work on it. I don't think it's something I can do right away, but I think maybe, you know, given enough time and research, that's something we might be able to create.
Some of the most knowledgeable elves, powerful in magic, came here. There are facilities. If you would like to set up there, Morid, to work on your sending stones.
Oh, yeah, there is something already made for that. Totally. But texting would be like sending stones, but with a parchment.
Sending parchments.
5% tariff to painter.
You see him kind of like wring his hands a bit.
Yes, I think that would be most lucrative.
You know, sometimes sending stones, you're talking, like you have to make small talk and you have to like, how was your day? How's the kids? Blah, blah, blah. With a sending parchment, you can just be like, hey, starting a city, paying small tariff. Check yes maybe, or no.
Maybe 25 silver. No, that's too much. 25 copper per message.
Text messaging rates may apply.
Shall we continue?
Why does Bainder get a text for everything we create? I made nachos. He gets a 5% tax. You make cell phones. He gets a 5% tax. What's with this? See, where's my 10% tax for creating nachos?
That's, well, you get 95. That, I think that's the whole point of me pointing it out every time we turn around. That's what he offers, right? 5% seems small. But when you have 5% of all exports and you're creating new intellectual property, the 5% becomes a very, very large amount of, well, my business might have been the most successful, the fizzy pop stand. I do understand how commerce works. Have I ever made you guys fizzy pops?
I feel like you may have in like the first session.
Oh, well, let me refresh your memory. And I start pulling out the stuff and different, I have some bottles I pull out of my satchel and fill with some water. And I want you to think of a flavor, Erevan, something that reminds you of a happy time in life. So mixing different things and putting them together in the bottle.
I don't know, cherry?
Seems simple, but okay. And I make a cherry flavored fizzy pop and I hand it over. I start making another one. Diamond, what about you?
I don't know, I like mangoes.
Mangoes, exotic, like it. I cast prestidigitation and make it taste like that. You better drink them fast because it doesn't last forever, but try it.
Erevan starts drinking his.
I just down it.
Can I have a blueberry?
Absolutely. Cast the magic on it. Careful, don't drink too fast because you'll have to burp.
As Diamond is just endlessly burping right now.
Yeah. So it's carbonated and it's sweet. Basically, I turned water and made it into soda pop.
Fantastic.
I think the fact that I couldn't make it more permanent so somebody could buy it and then bring it across town and give it to somebody else and they had to consume it right there was the downfall of my business.
Distribution.
5% tariff. Yeah, I get it.
I believe my servant might have some ideas for you.
Yeah, it's a chamois that doesn't last, you know? And you'll notice that, you know, that quarter of a blueberry fizzy pop you have left no longer tastes like blueberry. It just tastes like water now.
Still pretty good, though.
Refreshing.
But yes, we do need to figure out how to keep it fizzy.
And so he leads you through the markets and starts taking you towards the lower levels. And you start hearing in the distance, like, banging noises and sounds like... explosions, perhaps. He says,
this is where your problems are.
And you see several undead that appear to be dealing or forging different doors and building them in this hallway, like away from the previous door that looks like it's being pounded on. And he says,
I've been building doors after doors here to keep the kobolds back, but they're getting faster at getting through them. Within a day, I believe they will break through with all of their contraptions that they've taken.
Yes, Morid, that's exactly kind of like that.
The machine is on the other side. Would you sleep first? And then we decide if you take the agreement.
I mean, either way, we should take out the kobold. It'd be fun. And, you know, regardless of anything else, I think I created this problem.
No.
And then Bander, like, puts his hand on your shoulder.
No, this is not your fault.
He's trying hard to win me over. This isn't going to end well, I think. I said, this is out of character.
I mean, out of character, I guess Diamond will just do whatever the party wants to do. I don't think she's going to like it, but she'll do it.
This is my fault, Morin. I am the one who hired him.
Yeah, there's a lot of, you know, leadership is tough. You know, when you think about mayors that are hires, you know, bandits to get rid of bears, to get that hires werewolves to get rid of witches. It's confusing. What's a confusing world? Hey, Diamond, can you turn into like a badass, like tanky beast of death?
I can conjure one.
Okay.
Or I can do one either way.
Well, I have a new concoction I made that can take whatever something is and make it huger, if that's a word.
Huger.
Yeah, like, you know.
Like bigger?
Go big. Yeah, like you know.
Enormous?
Like you take it and you double it in size.
Oh, does it wear off?
Yeah, after a while. You know, but it's more like for a combat thing. It'll last for a minute. But like, you know, the target will double in size. And, you know, like, so I'll say if it's a medium beast, it'll turn into a large one or large to huge. And they get their natural weapons grow, doing extra damage. They get advantage on, like, if anything, any feats of strength. It's pretty cool. I'm just saying, something we can try.
So should I just turn into an animal now? Or...
Oh, if you want to fight kobolds now, sure. That's just something I was just going to throw out there for a future.
No. Okay.
Let's rest first, though.
I could do it twice in a day.
My servants should be able to keep them occupied for a couple more days.
Okay.
Until you decide. But yes, this is my fault.
Well, I mean, you know, I think we all share a little bit of blame here. I mean, the machine's pretty mad at me.
Said something.
Hey, why is the machine mad at Mord?
It said something about bad directions.
My mouth may have gotten us in trouble.
During their travels to here, the machine got lost in the Feywild. Asked for directions out, and it claimed Mord sent him to a snail race.
That's true. I forgot about that.
For 600 years. It's pissed.
I mean,
he's pissed. No good deed goes unpunished, they say.
He's trying to claim the contract expired 550 years ago. It's weird.
For sure.
So, yeah, he leads you back through the markets and into the forging area to show you that it's active at the moment. It's what they're building the doors with. You remember the forges that are powered by sunlight. What's this? What's that the reference to? Sorry, my mind already went forward.
That's the machine or whatever the fuck. That's how pissed he is.
Oh, yeah, he's pretty bad.
Rips their mailbox out, throws the dump.
Yeah, that's a federal crime. Yep.
Mail's flying out of it.
Does anybody know the story behind that? Because I've seen that a couple times, and I don't understand why he's so mad. Well, whatever.
Oh, I don't get it either, but...
I have no clue, but it's funny.
See, like, this guy keeps putting out one extra bag than he's supposed to. But yeah, after that, he does lead you back to the temple where he does indeed have rooms set up for you to rest in if you want to sleep in the city, which maybe you don't.
I don't know. The kobold is asphyxiated on Morid, and if he breaks through, we'll be, like, right in the city for him to get.
If he breaks through, I will fight him myself. But if you fight him yourselves, and take the city. It would only add to the renown of you adventurers.
It was a hoax. The guy wasn't mad. Glory. Sorry, I was looking it up. It was a April Fool's joke for his boss.
Oh, nice.
Totally staged. Continue.
Yeah, Bainder is just like, if you fight the kobolds, it would bring glory to the city that you've taken.
Glory in gold.
Well, let's take out the kobolds, and then when the diplomats arrive, we'll hang out do the details of what's going to happen going forward. But in the meantime, we can clear out some kobolds. What do you guys think?
Okay.
Erevan.
Yes.
Will you fight?
Sure.
He doesn't really need a whole lot of prodding to fight people.
And there's Elite over there probably eating some cheeses and breads.
Yeah, can you make me huge too? I sure can.